Check 1, 2, 3. There we go. All right. We got the mic on. Hey, one quick thing. If you're new with us today at home, thank you for being here online. Follow the links. Let us know you're here. If you're new here today, you can grab one of these out of the seat pocket in front of you. Fill that thing out. If you put it sideways in your pocket there, I'll come grab it, or you can put it in that lockbox in the back. We'd love to know that you were here today. And hey, what a great time we had at the Angel Tree Party. Who came to the Angel Tree Party in here? Yes, lots of you. Yes, thank you so much. Again, I just want to thank everybody. Miss Jennifer Davis, who puts that together every year. My wife, Amanda, who cooked all the food this year. She did a great job. All who served, all who provided presents. Again, we can't thank you enough. You saw some pictures there. The Northwest Arkansas Food Pantry and Samaritan's House provided all the food that we were able to give away, the car full of turkeys. So we, a big sincere thank you, really. We thank you. And it is the season of generosity, isn't it? And we are so blessed to be able to bless other families, aren't we? Isn't that great? We can do that here at Hope Church. I'm sure that many of you have listened to KLRC. Anybody listen to KLRC, The Positive Difference? The Positive Difference. Come on. Can I hear you? That's right. I heard you. I heard you good. You'll be listening to some good stuff in the car. KLRC is a great radio station, and it's broadcast over, you know, the entire Northwest Arkansas region. And they have grown really to influence well over 500,000 people in this area. And so right now, if you're following them, they're doing something called Three Christmas Wishes, in which they bless three Northwest Arkansas families who are in great need. And over the radio, we heard about this first family that they revealed. That they helped, and it just so happened to be a family of a teacher right here in Bentonville, so that was cool. She was actually one of my son's teachers over at Ruth Barker Middle School, so we know her, and she's a great gal, great family, and so we got very interested in her story, and her name is Ansley Webb, Mrs. Webb, great gal, and so here is a short version of her story that I wanted to share. After the first day of school this year, okay, Ansley, her husband, and daughter were at home. All was calm, you know, everything was fine, and they went to bed. Around midnight, they woke up. Their entire house was engulfed in flames. Thank God they were able to escape. They got out, but they lost every single thing that they owned. Everything. Nothing was saved. It's pretty crazy. There's a video you can go watch on your time. You know, go to KLRC, the website. Check out the whole story. At the end of the video, it's just so beautiful as she is brought into the gymnasium. And, you know, it's a big surprise. And then the entire sixth grade class comes down out of the stands, and they just surround her, and they hug her, and it's just worth sharing, right? Just an incredible show of love for a family in our community. But I want you to just imagine for a minute, okay? Imagine that tomorrow, you wake up and you've lost everything that you own. Just think about everything you have at your home right now, right? Everything that you've collected over the years, everything you saved for your kids, right? Or maybe you've saved it from your parents. Stuff that you've saved your entire life and all the important things that are in your home that you own. And then one night, it's all gone. You lose it all. And if you've got some stuff in your mind right now, if you're thinking about that, is there anything you have that could outlast a devastating fire? Anything that you own? We're talking about joy today in this third week of Advent. And I want to pose the question to you this morning. Is there anything you have that is worthy of saying, this is where my joy comes from? Can you say that? I want to do a quick illustration. At the Angel Tree party, you know, our very own magic man, John Mars, who's not here today, but he might be watching from home. John, hi. You saw a picture of him doing a magic show. John will sometimes incorporate a special added element to a magic trick, and he does this by using a little piece of paper called flash paper. And basically, it's paper that when it comes into contact with a flame, it just instantly burns up. So it's one of the best ways to add like a visual burst of excitement to any magic trick, right? And so our very own magician, John Mars, you know, he's given me a piece of this from his secret magic stash. And I have here my notes. Okay, attempt the trick, good luck. All right, so I'm no magician here. So if I do this right, if I do this right, let me just get ahead of myself here. If I do this right, it should just vanish. You ready? All right, so I need audience participation. We're gonna count down 3, 2, 1, and I'm gonna do it. Okay, ready? Are you ready? Go ahead. I did it. Yeah. Good. That was pretty cool. It's the most close I've ever gotten to a magic trick in my life. Okay, but here's the truth, okay? If you consider the things that bring you the most joy in life, right, they are all too often things that give us just a quick burst of excitement in our lives. And then our joy vanishes as soon as circumstances change. Right? A lot of things in life, that's how they are. And I want to tell you this morning that if that is what happens to our joy when we go through difficult things, then we don't understand where true joy comes from. Now, I don't want to put anyone down here this morning. I don't want to make you feel bad at all, because I know that some of us are going through extremely difficult things, even as we speak. In fact, you know, I wrote this sermon before the tornadoes hit 2 nights ago. The devastated Mayfield, Kentucky. You guys been following that? You know, will some of those families be able to find joy this Christmas? I don't know. But consider this. True joy is something that survives the fires of life. It can't be taken away by our rapidly changing circumstances. And if you want to experience true joy, it has to be based on something much more firm. Something that will never vanish into thin air and never return again. Right? Something that is not just about a burst of excitement. So let me explain to you today where that true joy comes from. And I wanna go back to the Ark of the Covenant, okay? Now, if you were here a couple weeks ago at Thanksgiving time, you might recall we talked about the Ark of the Covenant and how King David had brought the Ark of the Covenant and placed it at the center of the community in Jerusalem. And he did that for everyone to be able to worship, right? And we talked about this. The original plan of the ark was to always be at the center of community. And before it was in Jerusalem, here with David, it was carried from place to place on the shoulders of the priests as the tribes of Israel moved around in the desert. And this was before they had entered the promised land. And whenever they stopped, all Israel would encamp around it. And basically, they would be around God's presence. And his presence would be with them. And so here was the point, you know, part of the point of millions of people camped around the ark. Rather than going someplace to worship God, God was with them. God with them. His presence was literally with them. And so each time they stopped in the desert, right, they'd set up three tribes on each side of the camp, right? There was 12 tribes in all. And so the tribes were there, and then the priests were inside that. And then the Levites the priests and Levites were inside that together. And then towards the middle was the tent of meeting at the very center. And inside that tent was the ark. Right? So we had the people, and then we had the priests, and we had the tent of meeting. And then we had the ark. But there was something else, something even more central to the success of the community of Israel. And it was what was inside the ark. What was inside the ark? Well, this is not a mystery, right? 1 Kings 8:9 tells us this. There was nothing in the ark except the two stone tablets that Moses had placed in it at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites after they came out of Egypt. Nothing but that. And so this wasn't some kind of, you know, treasure box filled with gold and precious stones. It wasn't some kind of idol. None of this was based on those things. Instead, it held the most important thing of all: God's covenant with Israel. This was an agreement that was etched on two stone tablets. It was chiseled out of rock by Moses, and it was written on by the very hand of God. And this was a promise for the world. And it was based on God's word, his word to Abraham, when God first spoke to Abraham. And he said to him, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed through you. That is one important set of tablets, wouldn't you say? And so one day, right? David's got the ark. He's got the tablets in it. He's back in Jerusalem with it. David, King David, looks around at everything that he's been given, and he looks around at his great big house. And he says this. He says, here I am. I'm living in a house of cedar while the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent. And David could see that life was not about all the stuff he had collected, all the stuff he had, but it was about the promise that Israel had and that he had. That was more important. And so David developed in his heart this desire to build a bigger and better house for the ark to reside in, and to not just leave it under a tent. And David's plan, his plan was to build something permanent, right? He wanted a permanent structure. No more wandering around with the ark. No more moving from place to place. But he wanted to have it as the centerpiece of his established kingdom, built here in the dirt of the earth. And the Bible talks about how he wanted it to be the most glorious building. He said it has to be a glorious building. He wanted it to be the best. And so he begins to gather the resources for this grand project. I mean, it's a pretty amazing endeavor to set out on for the king. And it's a great idea. But God speaks to David. And he tells him something that is so crucial to our understanding of who God is. So don't miss this today. Here's what God says to David. He says, "You are not the one to build me a house to dwell in." David, you got a good heart. Done a lot of great things, but you're not the one to build me a house to dwell in. And he goes on to say in 1 Chronicles, "I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought Israel up out of Egypt to this day. I have moved from one tent site to another, from one dwelling place to another. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of the leaders whom I commanded to shepherd my people, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?'" He never said that. God never asked for that. Of course, we know that David's son, Solomon, actually goes on to build the temple. And it's glorious. And it's layered with gold and ornate carvings and pillars of bronze. And it was a truly magnificent sight. And people traveled from all over the world to come and see this place and everything Solomon had done. It was a wonder of the world. And it deserved recognition. Solomon was the one to build the temple. David wasn't. But is that what God meant when he said, "David, you're not the one to build the temple"? You see, God never asked for it to be built in the first place. Why? Because what we think will last, God already knows will not last. He knows it's not going to last, and he knew the temple wouldn't last. He knew that it would just be a matter of time before whatever men tried to build and tried to establish and make secure would just fall and collapse. And that's why at the center of it all, it wasn't gold and silver. It wasn't possessions or anything like that, but it was something that would stand for all time, something that could never be lost, because it's not based on anything man can do. It's based on the Word of God Himself. Hallelujah. Come on. That's right. Hallelujah. I love it. Listen, there's a lot we can stand to lose in this world. But even despite all those losses, okay, we have this amazing covenant with God that can never be erased. Now let's look at God's version of the plan. Okay, that was David's attempt. Let's look at God's version of the plan. He says this to David. God says, "When your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom." Maybe we're talking about Solomon. Because that happened with Solomon. He is the one who will build a house for me. Maybe we're talking about Solomon. That's what happened. Then I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him as I took it away from your predecessor. He could still be talking about Solomon, except for one thing. In verse 14 here, God says, I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever. Not Solomon. Right? God is talking about someone different than Solomon. He's looking way ahead, much further than David could even fathom to look. Why? Why is God doing this? Because God wants a house that will be established forever. Not something so easily burned down. Not something so easily lost overnight. Okay, and I've said all this morning to say this. We can place our hope in the promises of God, but our joy is found in the fulfillment of those promises. The fulfillment of God's word. And so as we consider this morning where our joy comes from during Advent, I want to recall what the great angel said when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And you remember he appeared to some shepherds that were watching their sheep by night. And he said to them, he said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. You know, Advent, we've said this a few times, but Advent means coming. The coming of Christ. And this announcement here by the angel is not just an invitation, you know, to some party and figure out what color the confetti is when you pop the balloon, right? It's not like that. This is the fulfillment of God's promise to the world. The coming of Jesus Christ is the greatest cause for joy we will ever know, because it's the fulfillment of the promises of God. Amen. We have that. We have that joy. You know, even 700 years before this happened, the prophet Isaiah said this. He said, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And Isaiah also said this. He said, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. See, he wanted God to be with all of us. This was his long-term plan, right? Who can fathom what God has done for us? You know, it's one thing to lose it all in a house fire. That's hard. But it's another thing to leave it all behind for the people you love. And Jesus Christ was not only born of the Virgin Mary and lived and died and rose again here on earth, but he left his heavenly home behind. He didn't lose it. He set it aside. He set aside his glory in heaven, and he became a mortal man. And as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, it says this, "For the joy set before him, he did this. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And he's made a way to be with us." Amen. This is the everlasting house that God built that will never be destroyed. It's a better plan than what David could think of. David had kind of part of the plan, but God had the whole plan, okay? So let me just, you know, to kind of, as we wrap things up, I just want to add a little burst of excitement to this sermon, okay? Are you ready? Countdown. 3, 2, 1. Oh! Wait. That didn't last. That joy didn't last. Done. So that was like a bummer of an ending. All right. Things in life don't last. You know, one day we're going to be finished with these trials and these tribulations and worries about what we can still lose in this life. We're going to be done with that. And maybe you can be done with that right now. And stop worrying about what you can lose in this life and start to think about what you have gained, the promises of God that are yours today. God's been busy. He's been busy for you. He's been busy establishing a kingdom that will last forever, that will fill us with true joy. Amen? Amen. I want you guys to stand together. We don't have worship to end the service today, but I want to end differently today. I want to close the morning by reading from Psalm 98, okay? In fact, one of our most beloved songs that we know we've ever sung, I think it's one of the best songs ever written. It's called Joy to the World, right? We all know that one. Joy to the World was based on Psalm 98. Maybe when you go home this week or even this afternoon, maybe at lunchtime, maybe you pop open Psalm 98 and reread this. Read this with your family. Read it in your personal time. Dwell on this. Think about this. Okay? So as we stand together, I like how these youngsters here, they're putting their arms around each other. I like that. I think you all grab hands. Look at you guys grabbing hands. Grab somebody like this. Hold a hand. Tell someone you love them. Close your eyes for a minute. Okay? Close your eyes for a minute. I just want to read Psalm 98. I just want you to, all distractions away, all the things we're thinking about, things we need, things that have happened. Let's just put that away for the last 2 minutes of this service. I'm going to read. And let's just listen. Psalm 98, 1 through 9. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord. With the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity. Amen. Let me just pray. Lord, your plans are so big. They have included every family on earth because you want to be with every family on earth. Lord, let us not be afraid of what we might still lose. Perhaps we will lose even more than that teacher from Ruth Barker. Perhaps we will lose more than the town of Mayfield. Perhaps more than we've already lost from COVID. But God, we can never lose the promise you set in stone and brought to fulfillment through your Son, Jesus Christ. It is established forever. And in that we find our greatest joy. And all the people said, amen. Thank you for coming today. Be filled with joy today. We love you.